Everybody, welcome to a Monday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside, as always, we'll take you to 3. Hand it off to our good friend Phil Benatti. His fine show will take you to 6. Giants are off today, home from Milwaukee. They have an important series for the Cubs starting tomorrow. The A's have an important series for the Tigers starting tonight. I'll tell you all about the schedule a little bit later on. It's amazing that our teams are playing the role of spoiler while other people are coming in who have a great deal at stake. I was hoping it would be the way around, but it doesn't look like it's going to be that way for the Giants, and we knew the A's were probably going to have this kind of year. But we will, nonetheless, continue on. We'll tell you about the schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Paul with us today, as always, the postmortem on the Fresno State game coming up momentarily. But first, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. One, our good friends at KFC, again, remind you if you're heading home early right now, good for you. If you're looking at a late lunch or you're planning dinner, don't forget about the great Phillips deal right now at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kremen, proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. We're so grateful to have them alongside an international, national, and, of course, local company of tremendous branding and great success over many, many years. And right now, the local operators featuring the $7 fill-up, which means you can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, each with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers, and you can top it all up with peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. That's a $7 fill-up deal. You can jump on board and grab one at any of the KFCs locally, or you still have on Tuesdays the 8-piece deal for just $10. That's pieces of dark meat chicken or original recipe tenders, either way. So stop by the local KFCs, Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kremen, and when you grab a bucket or two, then you can top it off by ordering peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. Also remind you, and I talked about this last week, they are proud sponsors of F1, the movie, the great Brad Pitt movie about Formula One racing, which I think is finally now arriving at home as it's been in the theaters. I think it's probably the extra cost at home, but a chance to watch it at home as well. But KFC has been very heavily involved in promoting this fine movie. And we thank all the local operators. And, of course, once again, BulldogBread.com. Anything you can do for NIL money is very, very important at Fresno State. And it's great to have KFC locally aboard to help out with that. The other reminders here, our good friend Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, another longtime booster at Fresno State, wants to tell you, as he does every day, or at least affords me the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. But first, tell you about his business. Again, if you're working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, if you're around a boiler service, tanker delivery service, anybody who works with valves, if a valve goes down, your business can go down in a big hurry. So you not only have a terrific business with Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply celebrating its 25th anniversary, and Joe has been a booster at Fresno State for over 3 decades now, but also you have the Superior components, the pipe fittings, the valves, the sanitary fittings, the food-grade chemical hoses, all there in-house. But very importantly, same-day estimate, same-day service. That way they can keep you up and running before you hit a catastrophic turn to your bottom line. And if you stop in at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or give them a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe has a direct email. Gabe works for Joe, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. If you get through to anybody, which you will in a big hurry, about what you're doing with your business and what you need them to do, they will jump right on it. And then Joe will tell you, if you have a little bit of time, he'll tell you what he has done for Fresno State and would ask you to do the same. And right now, the best way to donate is to go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. Take you to different areas. BulldogFoundation.org is there. Myers Champion Circle. Also information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. By the way, at last check, I believe we're around the 33,000 mark for the Georgia Southern game on Saturday night. That is an FS1 game, but I hope people come on out. Been pushing 38,000 plus on a regular basis for the home games, and I hope they're going to get there. The weekend weather should be a lot better than it was this last weekend while the Bulldogs were on the road. But again, you can check all of that out at GoBulldogs.com. And then finally, there's a link there, ways to give. When you get involved with the sports clubs, your money goes directly to the team you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me every week. We talk a little bit of basketball right now and a lot of football as well, but they love more members for the basketball program. Timeout club, Jack said, give him a call directly on his email, on his phone or his email. By the way, let me mention this very quickly. Jack and the board of directors there, and they have looked over and over again about the demographic, and you know they are very much appreciative of all the older folks that have been around, but they would really like to see a new generation coming up. So Jack has said, any of you young guys, it doesn't cost that much, and it's not only great to get the inside knowledge, the coaches coming by to talk on Mondays, but you also can develop those social relationships that hopefully will carry through as other generations follow Fresno State men's basketball. And this, of course, is a very important year. But one more time, verdictjack@AOL.com or 559-287-3305 for more information. Also, you've got Dugout Club there for baseball as well, and other links for men's and women's sports. And by the way, first time that Paul has been up with me since the Dallas Baptist move is made to the conference. And if we have a few minutes today, I'll ask him about that because that's very important baseball-wise. And then finally, keep in mind that not only the men's sports there and the women's sports as well with those links under ways to give, but the aforementioned BulldogBread.com, the very important collective that Marcus McMarion is heading up. Chris started a station, handed it off to Marcus, two Bulldog greats from different eras, generations. That's right, Chris, different generations. And I'm older than both of you, so I could say that. But Marcus is doing a terrific job, and once again, it's a separate issue. Your NIL monies are there, in addition to that $20.5 million that the university can pay its athletes. So it can get a little complicated, but what it amounts to is if you've got a business or if you're someone who has a donation or a sponsorship idea, contact Marcus McMarion, BulldogBread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. He will get back to you as soon as possible. Finally, as we wrap things up, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. And I will tell you up front, the wildfires in the Sierra National Forest area right now, nine of them going on right now, in particular priority, the Garnett Fire right now is an issue. These were probably started because of lightning strikes. There's still chances of showers in the valley floor area, although up in the Sierras we may see, and in the foothill communities. We had a flash flood warning yesterday, by the way, up there. We may see a quarter inch of rain or so. I don't think we're going to see much in the valley floor, but it is a problematic situation up there in regard to the wildfires up in the Sierras, so be careful if you're around that area. As far as the forecast goes, the temperature's coming down. 101 today, 100 tomorrow, 98 Wednesday, 95 on Thursday, 98 Friday, and then we go 97, 99, 96, 91, 95. You get the drift. We are well below the normal averages as we roll into September toward the end of the 10-day, and because of it, it means it should be very pleasant for Saturday night at the stadium. So I hope you're out there for the kick. We'll talk about that right now with Paul, but first, let me just thank everybody. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, 825-5337, 825-LEES, or leesair.com. They also bring you the hotline, and Paul is on that one right now, 559-320-1430. That's how you can reach Phil as well. So thanks, everybody at Lee's. Thanks to Joe Cruz. Thanks to Ed Dunkel. And thanks to the local KFC operators. We'll tell you more about each later on. Right now, we turn to our longtime friend and longtime voice, your Bulldogs, just back from Lawrence, Kansas, where it started pretty good but didn't finish real great. It is Paul Leffler. Paul, how you doing?
Great, Tony. Happy to be back in the Valley. We had some beautiful weather in Kansas, beautiful country, nice people. Tough result, but it's a big week for the Red Wave. You know, it's not a small thing that the last 2 years Fresno State led the nation in attendance outside of the power conferences, and Bulldogs want to continue to hang their hat on that going into the new conference. It'd be awesome to leave the Mountain West with a three-peat in that department, right? So you got to get off to a good start and pack the place on Saturday night.
You and I have talked that the way this schedule sets up, and under Matt Entz reference, they don't want to turn one loss into two. We were talking about it. If you're not very careful, you can lose your first three games because two of them on the road. It was a test that the Bulldogs were not able to pass. Lawrence, Kansas, they play in Corvallis in a couple of weeks, and Georgia Southern is a very good team coming in. So it is, well, they are separate games, obviously, in preparation. Same way your fan base is looking at that first three, although admittedly none of them, including Oregon State, though that will be conference in the future, is conference this year. One thing, Paul, I want to get this out right away. Our condolences to everybody in the family of Joseph Castro. I know it was a difficult time. Joe Castro was on the air with us a great deal. The way things ended here, as a Valley son, being the first ever president of the university, and again, the terrible news that he passes away at age 58. And we are going to talk sport, but Paul, I did want to give you a second also to talk about the fact that we are well aware of real life, and that is real life. And I'm very, very sad for the family and everybody who knew Joe, and understanding it was a very unfortunate way things ended here, that's for sure.
Yeah, thank you, Tony, for the opportunity to speak to that. Because, you know, I think like a lot of people who got to know Dr. Castro, he was a friend. I think, you know, if you spent any significant amount of time with him, you saw that he genuinely cared. He wanted to listen. He loved the Valley. He was proud to be from the Valley. He was very proud of the opportunities he extended for first-generation college students. And he had a bold vision for athletics. I mean, if he did not step up, many people don't get into the nitty-gritty. But if you compare him to the previous administration of Fresno State, the amount of money that he invested from the university side in athletics was exponentially greater. Under the previous presidency, and this is not a knock on Dr. Welpy, it was a different reality at the time, and college sports is a different realm. But under, you know, the previous president, there was a giant endowment that the Bulldog Foundation had that was reduced to fund the athletic budget, right? And that endowment could have done a lot more good over time, we can see in retrospect. So there was a different approach there that, you know, the last resort would be bringing it from the university budget. But Dr. Castro said, no, this is important. We're going to do this. I mean, there were years where close to $20 million from the university side went to fund athletics. And without that subsidization, I don't know that Bulldog Athletics would be where it is. You know, he also, one of the big things when he took the job, he had been, you know, I think lobbied by our late great friend, Dr. Pete Mias, over the importance of wrestling to the Valley. And Pete was part of that selection committee that chose Dr. Castro. And, you know, I think he felt that it was a really important mission to have wrestling at Fresno State. And he did bring it back, and some student-athletes had opportunities, and wrestling fans got to pack the Save Mart Center for some big-time matches in the Big 12. And I know wrestling's not there anymore. There are other reasons for that, and unfortunately, you know, I think there were some mistakes made by student-athletes and coaches that led to that, and that's really unfortunate. But I never had an interaction with Dr. Castro where I didn't feel seen, heard, valued. And I know he brought that to everyone. And his wife, Mary, was such a huge part of it. What she did for students at Fresno State, her advocacy for the food pantry, the love that she spread all over town. And honestly, when I've been praying for him and his family in recent weeks, the one that I've been praying for the most is their son, Jess. Because they're older children, it's heartbreaking to lose your dad. But Jess grew up here at Fresno State. He's one of the biggest Bulldog fans you're going to find. He's a big Dodger fan, too, and we'll let him slide for that. But, you know, Tony, I was 21 when my father died, and I remember how hard that was for me. But I can't imagine being, you know, a 13-year-old and losing a guy who's been your best friend, because after Joe's time as chancellor came to an end, he was busy with a lot of things, but he was mostly busy being Jess's dad and pouring into that young man. And, you know, Jess is going to do remarkable things in his life. And the investment that Joe and Mary have made in his life is going to yield big dividends. And for anybody that knows the family, I know you're probably all thinking the same thing. You know, we need to be there for Jess and keep encouraging him and cheer him on as he carries on that legacy. But Joe Castro was someone who believed in Fresno State, believed in the Valley. I think, you know, whether you agreed with every decision he made, and he probably caught the most heat for the situation with the professor that a lot of boosters wanted him to fire. And he had his reasons for taking the stance he did. That's, I think, it says something about a man's character and his heart when people who may disagree with a decision he makes still respect the person that he is. And I don't know anyone, personally, who doesn't respect Joe Castro and didn't feel the respect that he had for them. So it's heartbreaking to lose him. I know he had so much more to give. But just praying that, it's the way I see the world, God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And he also takes what the enemy intends for evil and uses it for good. So that's my prayer for Mary, for their whole family. And, you know, I'm sure there are some ways, as complicated as it can get when you're a public figure, I'm sure there are some ways where Dr. Castro's legacy can be visibly honored in a way that fits. And you'll hear, I mean, other people will have much more eloquent things to say, but I'm just going to miss talking to him, miss seeing him, even after he left Fresno State. He cared so much. And just someone I was thankful to call a friend, and I think probably a lot of your listeners did too. So let's all continue to pray for Mary and the whole Castro family.
No question. And age 58, I mean, I don't. That's 10 years younger than I am, and way, way too young to no longer be with us. And it's, again, as you mentioned, something where the family, first and foremost, impacted, and everybody who knew him. And again, it has nothing to do with sport. It just has to do with the humanity of the person. And so I appreciate your words, Paul, and we will now move back to the toy department, which I've mentioned this before. We've had far too many times of doing this, unfortunately, in the last 4 or 5 years, where we've lost people close to us that are involved with Fresno State. And when I say the toy department, I use that in the very advised term, because it is important to a lot of people, including us. So it is not the toy department to us, but from the outside world, sometimes it's viewed like that. I always want to be careful with the context. That having been said, Paul, I want to get to the field of play here. The things that we had talked about going into this season, and again, I know the import of this game coming up, and I hope people do come out, because it could turn into a tough 0-3 start if you were to lose, and you can very well lose to Georgia Southern. If you could even play well and lose to this team, they are very, very good. So it's important that the support is out there. And then, like I said, you're in Corvallis the next week. But the bottom line is, Paul, we talked about the question marks being the line play and the quarterbacking. And I'm not going to overreact one way or the other. And you and I both know we talk about 2001 a great deal, simply because the way that season started, everybody thought the signature win at the start of the year was against Oregon State, because they were SI's number one team. They came in here in the second game of the season over Labor Day weekend, and the Bulldogs beat them up 44-24. Turned out Oregon State wasn't that good during the year. They were mediocre at best. And the game at the start of the year at Colorado, the Bulldogs won on a last-second interception. That game was one where people felt Fresno State should win going in, because Colorado was having so many problems. As it turned out, by the end of the year, that was the signature win for Fresno State, and it probably kept Colorado, of all things, out of the national championship game. I bring it up, Paul, because I'm not going to overreact to Kansas one way or the other until I see how the Jayhawks play the rest of the year. That being said, those issues with the line and with the quarterbacking when you were playing what we perceived as a peer group school, I mean, never mind a P4, a team that Fresno State plays on that same level, it was disappointing. What do you make of it overall?
It's hard, Tony. And you know, you go back to 2001, Oregon State was really talented. They might have had a great year if they didn't have their number one ranking demolished by Fresno State here. I mean, that plays into it, right? It's not, that wasn't as big a win for Fresno State because they didn't have the year they were supposed to have. No, Fresno State might have been the reason they didn't have the year they were supposed to have, because momentum's a real deal. That's such a factor, you know. And I think Kansas, if they keep Jalen Daniels healthy, has a chance to have a real special year. I mean, look at his numbers for that game. Look how composed and in control he was. Quarterbacks are game changers. That's why, I mean, if you look at the latest breakdown on ESPN.com, it gives you a benchmark for the going rate for players in this revenue sharing era. And a quarterback at a P4 school is $1 to $2 million. So you're playing potentially one player more than the entire Fresno State team is getting paid in this new era. Kansas is going to pay its players $20 million this year in revenue sharing. Fresno State will have a fraction of that. And that's gravy on top of a budget that dwarfs Fresno State and resources that dwarf Fresno State and a TV deal. And you and I have talked for years about an unequal playing field, but it's getting tilted further in the direction of the power schools. And, yeah, I agree. I mean, it felt like a winnable game. Kansas was 5-7 last year. They also won 3 out of their last 4, and those were all against ranked teams. They beat Colorado, BYU, and Iowa State back-to-back-to-back last year down the stretch because Jalen Daniels was healthy and playing well. Special player. And some of the transfers they brought in made a difference. You could see a difference in the physical ability of the two teams. And I know that may not be fun for anyone to hear, but that was the reality the other day. Could Fresno State have still found a way to win? Sure, absolutely. If it was Kansas turning the ball 3 times, turning it over 3 times instead of Fresno State, absolutely, Dogs would have had a chance. Even, you know, some plays that was probably a really good play call, but one of the 11 guys didn't do his assignment, and what should have been, an escort to the end zone didn't materialize. So, you know, those things, there's so much to look at for why it didn't happen. Here's the good news. They probably won't play a team that athletically gifted the rest of the year. Boise State, perhaps, would come close, and Boise State's going to have some weapons, and there's a returning quarterback there. I don't think they'll face a quarterback as polished as Jalen Daniels the rest of the year. You think about that, a guy who's working with the same head coach at the same program as a starter for a 5th straight year. That makes a huge difference. That may be the best. That may be the most effective player that Fresno State faces all year. So I don't think we should overreact, but it is concerning. It's concerning that, you know, it looks like some of the effort in the second half wasn't where it needed to be. Some of the body language wasn't indicative of what this coaching staff expects and what the players expect of themselves. And Coach Entz shared today that some of the veteran players in the locker room spoke up to that point. DeJon Jacks, chief among them, right? So it's not that nobody is disappointed and frustrated and motivated to move on, but there is some context to that victory. So now Bulldogs have to defend their home field. Kansas had the new stadium, and they made it a memorable day. Fresno State has new turf. Has a new green V section in the stands. I can't wait to see that, right? We're going to have a flyover F-15s from the 144th fighter wing. They've got some new concessions. They want you in your seats early. The university's working really hard to improve the access to the stadium and getting through the gates so more fans can be in their seats for kickoff. And they even have that special deal, the red hour, for the Red Wave Light Lager the first hour the gates are open. So the university's doing everything it can to facilitate a big crowd at kickoff, then it's up to the players. And Clay Helton's not bringing Georgia Southern across the country to lose, right? This is a team with high expectations, with real talent, with experience. It's not going to be an easy matchup for the Bulldogs. So So they need to do everything they were trying to do the other day, and they need to do it more consistent. I think that's the thing. We saw some flashes. We saw some signs, but it wasn't consistent. And I think this team has the talent and depth to be a consistent winner this year. Quarterback play is going to have to improve. The athletes on the other side are going to be a little different. But some of that's decision-making. Some of that's accuracy. And obviously, that's going to have to be sharper for the Bulldogs to be a championship contender in the Mountain West this year.
Paul, one of the things you and I have discussed, and certainly Jackson and I as well, that the Bulldogs made it clear that the priority going into this year was going to be, again, to run the football, shorten the game, play mistake-free. That has to be part of it when you're going to play that style of ball. And basically what you're saying is, we'll let you tear it up between the 30s, but we're going to stuff you after that, so you're going to get empty possessions late, or maybe threes, not sixes. When the other team knows that, and they know your proclivity, or at least your desire to do it, they are going to stack the box, and we brought it up that it meant that they're going to have to be creative. We brought up the tight ends, et cetera. The tight ends hurt the Bulldogs from the other side much more than Fresno State hurt KU with the tight ends. But knowing that this is what Kansas is going to do, what makes this particularly baffling was the way the Bulldog offense started the game. Okay, Kansas goes down and scores. You're right. You got 41,000 there, a renovated stadium. Very excited, understandably so, because Kansas football has not been a priority much on that campus, kind of a hit and miss. It is a basketball school, and understandably so with their great history. But you, Fresno State, on the road, turn right around and answer that drive with the drive of your own to tie it. Even Tim Brando made the point. He goes, I thought we were headed for a track meet. Paul, if you would have told me at that moment, as Gilliam scored, that that's the last point the Bulldogs were going to score, I would say you're out of your ever-loving mind. It must have been a lightning strike or something. They must have canceled the game. How in the world did Fresno State turn that very efficient first drive into bupkis the rest of the way offensively? Was it more Kansas or more Fresno State?
Well, it was a little bit of Kansas, but, the Dogs turned it over three times. You can't do that. You got a sack fumble and two interceptions. And the first interception, I think E.J. Warner would jump on with you right now and say, hey, that's on me. I shouldn't have thrown that football. That was not a good decision. The second one, his accuracy was a little off, but that's a catch Josiah Freeman expects to make, even though he had a leading speed. Right? And it didn't bounce the right way. A little more leeway and grace on that one. But if they didn't understand before, they need to take care of the football. They certainly do now, because that's what made the game get out of hand. And penalties, right? That was, there were some penalties that could have been called that weren't. I think Kansas's first touchdown was probably the biggest missed call of the game. Cam Brocker got absolutely tackled on the edge, would have been in position to make the tackle, but Kubeka, the wide receiver, it was a blatant hold that should have been called and wasn't. I don't think that changes the outcome of the game, though. Right? And Fresno State had some self-inflicted penalties at really poor times, and there were missed blocks, and there were some things that you just can't have when you're trying to pull an upset like that. One good thing is a lot of guys got in the game. Now, is that part of the lack of consistency or too many guys playing? Did that contribute to some of those stakes? Maybe. But I know those players are really excited to get out there, and I think a lot of guys showed that, they can make plays at this level. One of the encouraging signs to me was Zeke Evite, really didn't get to play at Maryland last year, and he made two big catches. It's also encouraging to see the third down conversion rate, and E.J. Warner being fearless enough to take some shots. He converted some of those third downs. And Fresno State, actually, offensively and defensively, did a really good job on third down. The big third down scramble by Daniels early was a game changer. But Kansas was only 2 for 10 on third down. And last year, the Jayhawks were number 2 in the country. They're the second best third down conversion team in America last year. So to hold them to 2 for 10 on third down, pretty significant. That said, they got a couple on fourth down that they were able to move the chains. So they, there were some situational things that the Dogs did well. But they didn't finish drives. They had some key penalties. Even at the end of the first half, clock management. If they if they were in a position where they could have given Dylan Lynch a 50-yard field goal instead of 55, you know, maybe the trajectory is a little different. Maybe he's able to put it in. Little things. Did I expect when it was 7-7 that they wouldn't score again? Of course not. And credit Kansas. And now Fresno State has plenty of motivation. And I think it's a chance for them to draw together. I know the coaches are doing a really good job of emphasizing unity. You've got some veteran leaders on this team who love their teammates, care. They're trying to get them all in. And, you know, I think this is going to be a really big week for E.J. Warner. Because, you know, he's one of the newest guys on the team. And he hasn't had as much time with his teammates to really develop those relationships and deepen that trust. And that can make it hard. I mean, that's, you look at how Daniels played for Kansas. I mean, all of those guys trust him because he was there before all of them. Right? He's been the one constant there.
Jalen was there in 2020, yes. He's been there. Most undergraduates on campus haven't been there as long as he's been there, never mind the football program. But, Paul, to that point, and look, I understand, and I'm going to make this clear again, that there are unique talents at the quarterback position. But I always go back to what happened with the 49ers after Montana's time was done, although Joe did not think so. That's why he and Steve Young to this day are not exactly best buddies, okay? Both would admit grudgingly now that neither handled it well. Joe did not like the competition that he felt shouldn't be there, and Steve should not have been windmilling that left arm around on the sideline all the time like a relief pitcher warming up, even though he wasn't asked to, okay? But what the defensive coordinator said, one of the big problems was, as great as Montana was, and he was brilliant, that the thing that scared them the most when Young was there, now early in Steve's career, he would make boneheaded plays, but once he figured it out, they say the biggest problem is you could defend everything correctly, and then he takes off for 35 yards on you, and it just destroys you emotionally because you did structurally, schematically, everything right, and every one of your guys did what he was supposed to do, and the individual brilliance of an individual playing quarterback beat you. Fresno State has seen this happen, Paul, over and over and over again. The Bulldogs have serviceable QBs right now, but are they still on this roster right now missing that kind of unique talent that when all else fails, they just find a way to beat the defense? Just wondering your point of view about it.
Well, and that's it, right? Those are the guys that are really hard to find. And Fresno State's been blessed to have quite a few of them through the years. You know, and everybody knows their names. And E.J. Warner would like to become that guy. He's as focused as anyone that I know, but he's not that guy yet. And, you know, he had some games at Temple and Rice where he played that way. His last game at Rice, he threw for 430 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. But he hasn't done that consistently. He doesn't have the arm strength that a lot of those great Bulldog quarterbacks have had. What he needs to rely on, what his strength is supposed to be, is, you know, what's between his ears, diagnosing what the defense is trying to do, and then in the moment making a good decision. And, you know, I think he'd be the first to tell you that he threw some balls he shouldn't have thrown. He threw some in areas where he could have placed them better. But I'll tell you what, he also proved some real toughness. Some of those hits that he took were pretty solid. And, you know, they also dialed up a designed run for him on a quarterback draw, and he executed that. And he's still getting used to it, right? So let's see how he plays in his first home game at Valley Children's Stadium. And the other thing is, I wouldn't be surprised at all at some point during the season if the other quarterbacks get a shot in there. I think, you know, they both have more eligibility remaining. EJ's done after this year. So you could get to a point where you see a real motivation to play more than one guy.
Right.
But, you know, for now, it's let's be who we're supposed to be. I think that's the message to the team this week. And Coach Entz in his news conference today, you know, he said, learn, burn, and return. That's the motto. Learn from what they did. Burn the tapes. It's not weighing you down. And then return to the fight. and put up a better fight. I think the other thing is it can be hard to simulate game speed, especially with power conference athletes. So they don't have to simulate anymore. The dog's got a taste of it. And are there some things they can do in practice? You know, maybe you put your ones against ones in some live periods. Some coaches are hesitant to do it because of injury risk. But maybe that's what you need to calibrate your team. And I'll be really interested in practice tonight to see how the team responds. And it's a test, right? It's a test of their focus, of their togetherness. And I think there's enough intestinal fortitude on this team throughout the coaching staff and the kind of young men they have that they're going to acquit themselves well on Saturday night. And they're going to make 40,000 Bulldog fans glad that they showed up.
Paul, in the last couple of minutes here, one thing, let me make it clear. Let's talk Joe Montana. Early in his career, for old people like us, he was a very good runner. He was not Steve Young, but he's a guy that could go get you 10, 15 on third down. He was very nimble, and he could run the football. Even with those chicken legs of his, he could. Later in his career, of course, he did not do that. Paul, two things here. One, it's obvious that both lines are going to have to be better, okay? And you're right. It may very well be. This is why I said I looked at Colorado game in 2001. Withhold judgment on how good Kansas is not for those that think the Jayhawks aren't that good. Let's see how good they are. And for those that think the Jayhawks are great, let's see how it plays out during the Big 12 season. That's the wait and see. For the Fresno State housekeeping with its own players, they've got to be better on both lines, and everybody knows it. They have to be more assignment sound. They've got to be better. But, Paul, the bigger issue, other than the obvious, is going to be what do you do now going forward? Because we've talked about this. I don't care how great your running back is. We saw this happen with the Detroit Lions. With Barry Sanders in the backfield, teams would sell out to stop him. Now, they could stop him to a degree. The problem was it left Moore and Perriman and everybody else open. And Scott Mitchell had a field day in that spread because everybody was spending too much time looking at Barry Sanders. Fresno State has some really good running backs. You know how high I am on Bryson Donaldson. But they're also going to see defenses that are going to load the box and say, we dare you to throw it. So, Paul, when you look at this, what do you do with your running backs right now? You don't want to turn them into decoys. If the other team is going to take it from you, do you have to now spin and say, we're going to take what we're given, which is what Josh Davis referenced before the season started, or are you going to say, no, when we get into conference, we are going to impose our will, period? Which way are you going if you are the coach right now?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, yeah, you're going to take what the defense gives you because that's smart football. And, you know, your running backs don't need to be decoys. You just deploy them in different ways. And I thought they did a good job of getting a lot of guys involved of having
well, they got Dawson out in the pass pattern, Paul, which was part of what I thought they needed to do. And they did it well the one time.
Yeah, and Speedy Lucan's face is going to be a nightmare for defenses. And there are a couple plays with him that weren't blocked quite right. Otherwise, they could have been big gainers. But you can use him a lot in the screen game. In fact, all those guys you can use that way. I also think the injury to Brock Liam, I'm sure that kind of went past a lot of people. But of all the tight ends they have, he's the best run-after-catch guy. He's the most nimble. He's a guy that I think they can use a lot if he's healthy enough to play as a guy. You know, they've got that throwback play to the tight end, ran it once there. They have other variations of it. There's a lot we haven't seen yet from this offense. But I think in this game, you've got an offensive line that wants to prove it can be more consistent in pass protection. Braden Walton, I thought, handled himself really well. And you know, forget my opinion, the guy sitting next to me is one of the greatest O-line coaches ever, and he was impressed with Braden. In fact, we think Braden Walton, the freshman left tackle, was our offensive player of the game on Saturday night. You know, he and Roland Fullwood were both starting their first career games at the tackle spots. I think they held up a little better than the guards did, and Spomer had a couple miscues. But I think the O-line is going to be determined to make a better impression this Saturday night at home. Paved the way for a run game. Do you need to throw a little bit early to set up the run? You might. And there are plenty of safe passes they have in this offense. You know, you don't have to air it out and throw the deep ball. That's not going to be the strength of this offense this year, I don't think. It'll occasionally happen, but it's not what it's built around. So there are plenty of other things you can do through the air that are a little safer, that are a little more consistent. And I think we'll see some semblance of balance. But you're also going to see a team that is really determined to lead with the run on Saturday night and do a little bit of that imposing of its will that you talked about.
Well, Paul, we will see what happens. Listen, you and I will talk about Dallas Baptist next week because I know it's a very big deal, but we're out of time today. But for those that aren't familiar with it, in 10 seconds, Paul, just tell people how good Dallas Baptist can be baseball-wise because we've already seen it firsthand. It's a tremendous boost to the conference.
Yeah, and I don't think it's the end. I think that paves the way and makes it attractive for other schools that may want to join, whether it's for baseball only or for all sports. But DBU has built itself into a powerhouse, been a perennial regional squad. It's going to help big from an RPI standpoint. And, you know, because of who the Patriots will play in their non-conference, the RPI factor is going to domino through the Pac-12. So that's a big deal and a good thing. And, you know, that's something we'll probably talk about more in a couple of weeks when we visit Corvallis, because Corvallis has become one of college baseball's meccas. And there'll be some – maybe our buddy Scott Barnes will have something to say, his perspective on what that means for the future of Pac-12.
I look forward to it. Paul, appreciate it. Have a great week and a great one on Saturday night. I'll be in touch. Take care.
Thanks, Tony. Keep smiling.
All right. You too. All right, guys. Paul Leffler, take a break. Come back, tell you about the schedule. Hand it off to Phil. A's up tonight. Giants after coming back yesterday afternoon to ruin Bob Uecker Day. Way to go, Ramos. I'll get you the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. 251, about 5 minutes from the show. Hand off to Phil, his outstanding show behind the bench. Take you to 6 o'clock. Tell you all about the schedule in just a second, but first I want to remind you, if you're on your way home early from work or looking at a 5 o'clock exit and trying to plan a quick dinner on the way home, a quick pickup anyway, keep in mind our friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, once again proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective, and they've got great deals going on right now. The $7 fill-up meal still in play. It means you can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, each the drink, sides, and even sweet pipe poppers for just $7. You can also top it all off with peaches and cream sweet lightning soda, which is brand new at KFC. Also, the Tuesday deal, which has been around for a good long while, continues. That is the $10 eight-piece bucket. It's eight pieces dark meat chicken, original extra crispy, or eight original recipe tenders. Either way, great deals at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And if you stop in, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, helping out at Fresno State. Paul was referencing again the tremendous disparity that is becoming an even wider chasm now between the haves and the have-nots. And it's a very big deal to have folks like our local operators at KFC stepping up. And I hope more and more businesses around the valley will do the same. Also, they are very much involved in the promotion of F1, the movie, the great Brad Pitt movie, all about Formula One racing. So check that out. Said it's arriving, I think, at the internet levels at home, probably the higher pay level right now, but it's been in the theater, still is there, and should be available at home very, very shortly. Other reminders here, talk about the schedule coming up. That comes courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And we've talked about Engineering Yard. It's a great fundraiser through the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State for every yard gained through the air at home the last 4 years. Donation made to the Lyles College of Engineering by Precision Civil Engineering. And again, the goal, unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully, and we've talked about this over and over again. Ed, not only a proud graduate of Fresno State, but a lot of the folks that work at Precision Civil Engineering also came through the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State. And as we just mentioned, in regard to KFC, another idea for local businesses to be able to jump in and help come up with a game plan, if you will, something that can benefit the university and also can benefit your business at the same time. Joe Cruz is able to do that at Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and he is able to give to the university as well. And it's going to take a grassroots effort to level the playing field. That's all there is to it. Anyway, as far as the schedule brought to you by Ed Dunkel and everybody at Precision Civil Engineering, Giants are off today. The Cubs come in tomorrow, a couple of evening games, then an afternoon game. Very important games for the Cubs because of playoff positioning and the Central Division and all the battles going on both there and for the wild card. And the A's start tonight, so the Giants will be on 14:30 beginning tomorrow. The A's start tonight on our sister station, the New 790, as the Tigers are in Sacramento. And again, Detroit in great shape, of course, to win the Central, but they would like to be the number one seed, so they've got a lot to play for. The A's always entertaining, not always successful, though they have been playing a lot better. And again, 6:30, the pre-tonight, 7:05 will be the first pitch from Sacramento. Also remind you, Friday night lights underway, second weekend coming up football-wise at La Monica. It will be Clovis High and Salinas Cowboys. That will be a 7 o'clock pre and a 7:30 kick. It'll be Phil Palmetters and Pat Hill figures to be there because the Bulldogs, of course, are at home on Saturday. Anytime the Bulldogs are at home, Pat, nice enough to jump aboard and be part of the crew calling that game for you. It's happened the last several years. It's a great treat to have Pat aboard. And, of course, Phil and Paul do a great job. Speaking of Phil, his show 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, that's Behind the Bench. Outstanding offering, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with another good friend, Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet. Great conversation of Phil's show. Some good eats as well on El Paso across from River Park. And you have the leavesair.com hotline where you can reach Phil, 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has his fine show, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays on 1430. Check that out. Live from First Ring Sports, stop by and see him if you can. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one at att.net. First names are fine. Guys, I'll get to a lot of your emails tomorrow if I can with Jackson. Just ran out of time today. Finally, everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. The live links and podcast are there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. We have not only the end of the baseball season, everything through the World Series from ESPN Radio. We've got the Lakers coming up and everything beyond that through ESPN Radio. And the 49ers, Raiders, and Rams, all of their games and everything else through Westwood One through the Super Bowl. And, of course, all the coverage of the high school games from football to basketball to baseball. So a very busy time for us. Check it out at 1430ESPNFresno.com. Thanks again to Jorge. Thanks to Paul. I will talk to Jackson tomorrow. And the final thank yous out to the sponsors, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. We will see you guys tomorrow. Phil is coming up on KFIG Fresno.